Welcome to the Path to Profit podcast with your hosts, Dr. Manette Riordan and Brad Dobson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Path to Profit podcast. I'm Dr. Manette Riordan, along with my husband, Brad Dobson. We help creative entrepreneurs figure out how to focus on the right ideas to make consistent money in their business. And we're super excited to have Justin Crane with us today, who's going to teach us how to keep that money, how to make more of that money, and other great tips and strategies around money, because we all know that what creatives need more of is money. So money is going to be the topic of our conversation today. Welcome, Justin.
Welcome, Justin.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to being here. Longtime listener, first time caller.
Love it.
And this is the comedy hour for sure. So our quote of the day is from one of my favorite authors, Henry David Thoreau, who said that wealth is the ability to fully experience life.
Wow.
So we'll see if that takes us anywhere.
Can we just stop right there? I mean, that's it. We're done.
Just end on that one.
I mean, like, really? I mean, so it's funny that he says that, because I've never heard of that. And I often use this quote called, it's not return on investment, but it's return on life. Mm. And I believe in that. And I think that Henry David Thoreau, never heard of the guy, by the way, never heard of him. He's on to something.
Okay. So say that again, because I got to put in my show notes here. It's not return on investment. It's return on life.
Correct.
Very nice.
Yes. I'd known that ahead of time. I would have quoted you instead of Thoreau.
Well, you know, when we go down that type of discussion, it comes back to what are you working for, right?
For sure.
It's not just about more ducats in the bank. Cool. Well, let me read a little bit of Justin's bio before we get underway here. Ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Justin Crane, a frequent guest on MSNBC, is a money strategist for business owners, which we want to discuss. He helps you understand the money side of your business. Justin isn't just about cutting back and living a frugal life. He's all about getting the shoes, doing sushi, and living the best life today and saving for the future. Justin is the author of the book, Money, You Got This. He shares his everyday crazy funny life stories and gives you a money lesson. Justin is also a certified financial planner professional and has been featured on CBS, Fox Business News, and MSNBC. Cool stuff. So you're getting some media coverage too. I like that.
Yes. Yeah. It's good.
It is very
good. Let's get into it.
So my first question is what is a money strategist?
Okay. So I love that question. Let me tell you, for any of you who are literally listening, driving in your car or whatever, I made it up. I made up. Yes. The profession, because I was like, where do you go to get business money advice? Like, you got financial advisors that tell you what mutual funds to do. You got bookkeepers that do your books. You got accountants that do your taxes. You got business coaches that teach, like, you know, how to run your business systems and operations and growth and all that. But like, where do you go for like money stuff? And I'm like, okay, I'm doing this now, but I'm not doing it to the extent that to go as deep as I think I could.
Right.
And I was like, this is it. Like, I got to do this. Because I think when you think about return on life, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of business owners work to serve their business and they don't have their business work to serve them. And I'm not about cutting back. Like, I own the URL gettheshoes.com. Like, if that doesn't tell you. So everyone's like, you know, Susie Orman's like, don't get Netflix. It's $11 a month. You could be putting that into an IRA. And when you're 95 years old, you could have $7 billion. And I'm like, that just, for me, it doesn't serve me and my belief around living a balanced life, because you can't just live for when you're older. You have to figure out that balance. Of course, you got to save some money for the future, but you also have to like do stuff now, like vacations, sushi, shoes, massages, cocktails, whatever it is. So how do you do that? Well, in my opinion, it's about using the success of your business as the engine to fund your personal goals.
Right.
It's about being smart with what you're doing now. It's about being profitable based on where you're at now, not oh, I'm just going to make more money and then everything will be fine. Cause like there is no Prince Charming in 40 years. It's you. Like we all own it. So we have to be profitable based on where we're at now. And in working with my one-on-one clients as a financial advisor, because that's one of my businesses, I would ask them the questions like, you know, how much money does your business need to make to send your kid to college? I mean, you just sent yours to college, right? So it's like, well, how did you do it? You paid for it through some of your business. It's got to be, right?
Right, right, right.
So I was like, all right, you know, I got the deer in the headlights look from a lot of my clients. And I'm like, okay, well, who's really looking at those numbers? And then, you know, I'm just letting you people know that I do have a bottle of wine up there. It will come down mid-show. So you need to continue. It's up there for a reason. It's planted right now. It's going to be open. And for those of you driving, that's fine. Because we're going to talk wine in a little bit. But like, let's
talk like, shoes too. Like,
we can talk shoes and wine, the whole deal.
Do you love shoes?
You know what? I don't have a shoe fetish. But, you know, every woman that I work with who's a business owner loves shoes.
It's true.
So that's kind of like how I got into this. And I think that, you know, I part of it is about, by the way, do you guys know that it's a special holiday today?
That is no longer Columbus Day.
It is National Get Your Head Out of the Sand Day.
Oh,
very nice.
Is every day National Get Out of Your Head Out of the Sand Day?
It just depends. I'll pull that one out once in a while.
Very good.
Yes.
So this is interesting. I think, you know, our generation, our parents' generation were the ones that, you know, the man had a job and he was going to work till he retired. And then maybe the fun stuff would happen. I love your approach to it. I like your way better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's not about getting to, you know, that whole period between 25 and 65, stashing away money so that eventually you can make the trip to Italy or something. It's so much more important to actually live your life and have that business work for you.
Yes.
So what is it that people can do to structure their business, especially entrepreneurs? How can they structure their business such that can work for them in that way?
Instead of
stuffing every dollar under the mattress or whatever.
Yeah. I think the two things that I just harp on all the time is the business model. Like, how do people actually make money? Like, what do they do to make money? And is it like pulling teeth to make money, or is it easier? So that's one thing that I think is important, is what do you do to make money? And then the second thing is I need to talk about this more, but if I was just starting out or trying to make a big change for next year or whatever, it'd be recurring revenue. Like, I'm a massive believer. Both of my businesses, 100% recurring revenue. 100%.
For those people who are listening and may not really understand, are you talking membership sites? Are you talking about monthly programs? When you say recurring revenue, yeah, like, I go to business model thinking. What do you mean specifically?
So anyone that's selling anything, you want your people to buy from you every month or every quarter. So think of like what Apple is doing. Apple, you know, they'll sell a MacBook or an iPhone or an iPad. Those things have product cycles of like 2 or 3 years. But what they're trying to do is grow their services division, which is iCloud, iPhone Music, some apps, some other stuff. But they're trying to make the percentage of their sales that's in services increase. Right. So that it makes up a quarter to a half of their sales. And then their stock, their business would be worth way more. So that's what So I have a group that I work with. It's monthly. I have one-on-one clients that I work with. It's forever. You know, my investment people, they're with me forever. My retainer one-on-one where I act as a virtual CFO, it's ongoing. I don't believe in working for like a month with someone because, you know, when you onboard someone in anything, the cost of the acquisition of bringing someone on, even no matter what you're getting paid, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So I love recurring revenue because it will allow you to go to Italy.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. Can we just talk about your artwork? Just like a quick,
it's all on her.
Like, is that yours? Did you do that?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
Thank you.
All right, podcast listeners, please go to YouTube, get on YouTube. You need to check out this artwork. I'm not just saying it. This is some serious artwork we're talking about.
Thanks. I'm a weekend warrior when it comes
love
to
it.
So,
love it.
Actually,
super fun.
That's part of the discussion for us in terms of the difference between one time and recurring. One time is to sell those paintings once. Recurring is to get them up where you start selling prints and those types of things.
That's right.
Yeah. I guess it's the difference between flipping houses and owning rental properties as well, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Same type of thing. So.
Yeah. And it's, Brad and I can total geek out on the whole business model conversation. You know, we think it's so important. And one of the places where we see our clients get really stuck is they don't know what a business model is, right? They don't have a clear sense of what their revenue streams are, what their potential revenue streams are. So I love that you're talking about recurring revenue and how important that is, which then leads right beautifully into a conversation around pricing, because I see women in particular get so caught up in the emotions of pricing, magical pricing, like crazy thinking around pricing. How do you support clients through putting pricing structures in place that lead to profit?
Yeah. So I'm one of these guys that, it's a great question. Like I geek out on the pricing stuff. And what I do is I like spy and study and stalk and read everything about pricing. And then I make my own cocktail. I do my own pricing cocktail. So what I got really into was this whole, we could talk probably, we should do another episode on just why do people buy? Like it's crazy.
Right, yeah. Right,
like,
right.
Why do people buy stuff?
Yeah.
So,
emotion. They buy on emotion.
Fully emotion.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we could do a really fun show on that.
Yeah. So as a service provider, whether you're product or service-based business, you need to have, this is where I geek out on, the display of your offer. Literally, the display of it has got to be real good. Because you have about 7 seconds to show someone your offer, and the reptilian emotional brain is going to be like, yes or no.
Right.
Yeah.
So the biggest mistake that business owners make around their pricing is that their offer is confusing to the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not just talking about the messaging, which is part of it, but I'm a numbers guy. So if you're dealing with people, and I work with a lot of just creatives, is that if you're going to show a price to a creative person, they need to be able to understand it pretty quickly with the numbers. Like you can't confuse them and make them want to throw up in a brown paper bag. You got to be like the display. So so to take it even deeper, how do I do it? I believe that the brain will buy something when it can compare it to something else. That's a biggie. Now I have drafted off of this from one of the most prolific and inspiring leaders on consumer buying behavior, which is Dan Ariely. He wrote the book Predictably Irrational. And he studied on this, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? People need to have at least 2, if not 3 offers for a similar thing. So think of it like this. When the brain sees 2 offers, it can compare one price to the next. And the conversions will go up because when you have 2 things to choose from, it's just the brain will go and will pick one. That's number 1. And then number 2, everyone loves getting a deal. I don't know anyone who doesn't think they got a great deal on a car or they bought a pair of shoes that were 92% off and they walked away and they were amazing. So let's make an offer, literally the display of what people will get that makes people feel like you're giving it, they're like, how are they making money on that? So
right.
That's what pricing is about. And then what you have to do on the numbers aspect is your pricing has to reflect all of the costs that it has for you to deliver what you're selling so that you can make a profit. Like we're not in business to break even. We're not in business to write everything off so we don't have to pay taxes. No, we got to be making money, like cash money. Like let's do this.
Yeah, we have, and those are fantastic points. In fact, I'm going to squirrel some of those away for one of our new offers. I love the part about having, you know, offering them multiple options instead of just buy it or don't, because then they're more likely to say, oh, I want that one instead of this one, as opposed to I don't want anything at all. Your last point though is well taken. We have so many clients that that don't know their numbers, and they're not able to reliably tell you what it costs them to do business. So do you find that you very often have to deep dive with people to actually be able to structure their pricing?
So I start with, in fact, this is now, for those of you who are can see, we're now going to the wine part of the conversation. No, I use this as my wine mic. I'm talking into a wine mic. It doesn't work, but what I have this knack and this love for is to create a safe place for business owners who don't want to deal with their money to deal with their money. Mm-hmm. So by me saying, number one, it's national get your head out of the sand day, that they really have to understand the fact that you really do have to get your head out of the sand. But what I'm asking people to do, if they're not numbers people, is not, now this is where I differ from a lot of like geeky CFO, like numbers people. You know how they say like, you need to know your numbers. You need to know your numbers. What I think is you need to find someone that can work with you to help you know your numbers. You can't put a square peg in a round hole. If people like their brains just lock when it goes to numbers, you can't just make someone deal with it. Like they're not going to do it. So you have to take baby steps with them, and you have to have someone come in, someone like me and a bookkeeper or an admin or whatever, and be like, all right, your recurring costs are $5,000. So you need to make more than $5,000 a month in sales. I mean, look, I'm not talking about taxes or taking money out or profits or anything like that, but you got to meet people where they're at and just give them a little bit of an elbow in the ribs, or maybe a noogie. That's a Yiddish word for like,
oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Like we got to get this thing. So it's not being judgmental. It's being okay with where they're at. And then it's giving them, this is where I get a little mushy, but like I give a lot of content just with a little bit of mushiness, is that they need to be inspired, that they really can figure out this number stuff. Because usually what happens, what's going on with these people in their head is like, oh my God, my friend just had, breast cancer. I need to figure out my money because I don't want to have nothing when I retire. Or, oh my God, I have this debt I have to deal with. So there's a lot of emotions around it. And I'm just trying to make people feel like wherever they are, it's okay. Like you don't suck because of whatever has happened. But the definition of insanity, right? We got to do something different to get a different result.
Yeah, that's really effective. And there really are so many people who, don't have your skill set, right? In fact, probably 99.9% of the world don't have your skill set. And when they look at their numbers and they get confused and just start to close off, then yeah, they need support. It's not a bad thing, right? It's like anything else in the world where we're not good at. I've seen this when we run our live events, and Manette tries to put some basic math together for people to start estimating their profits or their numbers. And you can see the creatives just shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it does. I think it brings up a lot of fear in people. And part of that is mindset. Part of that is the fact that we were never taught how to manage our money. Like there's no class in high school or university, especially I have a PhD in poetry, right? We didn't talk about managing money.
Oh, sure. That was exactly, yeah.
Right. But that's it's just cool that enough. Sense yeah. of no one ever took the time to teach us. And then, so we go off and we start businesses. And like, I remember when I started my publishing company, I put out the whole first issue of the magazine and, I paid for the printing. I did all the delivery and, we did great, made sales. It's like, oh shit, I actually have to invoice people to get paid.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? It's like, I didn't even know to think about something that simple. I was just so focused on the fun part and delivering what I promised, which was to get their ad in front of people through the avenue of my magazine. Uh-huh. And I forgot about the back end piece. And so I hired an assistant right away to do all of that because I knew it was not going to be my talent. But even as that business grew, learning what numbers to pay attention to. So I think that as business owners, we often have a lot of leaks in our money systems. And it often feels like a leaky bucket, like there's lots flowing in and there always seems to be just as much, sometimes more flowing out. So do you have some great tips or strategies on how not to waste money as an entrepreneur?
Yeah. I want to make sure that everyone gets the distinction when we're talking about money. There's two buckets of money. There's your personal money and there's your business money.
Absolutely.
What you're talking about, Manette, in terms of financial literacy, I think there is an increase in awareness around financial literacy on the personal money side. But I think on the business money side, we are so far behind.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually think there could be a gazillion more millionaires if there was just more education around understanding the numbers in someone's business. Because once you understand things, you have clarity, right? Knowledge is power. Clarity is great. You're able to make decisions and all that kind of stuff. So what I've done is I've just created simple 12-second frameworks on anything having to do with money. And I'll give you some of those. I'll give you an example. So what I tell a lot of business owners to do is that, imagine you're getting into the pool. So I want you to put on your money floaties. I literally want you to get in the shallow end of the pool and dip your toe in the water and start doing stuff. And I'll come back to that. What I don't want you to do is go on to the deep end and do a cannonball, because we have some cannonballers listening. Like, I know you want to like sail the world and conquer everything, but like, I'm not quite thinking that you need to be Richard Branson or anyone like that and like put it all on black and hope you got to go big or go home. I don't agree with that. I'm all about money floaties. So let me give you a real concrete example. So let's say you're a business owner and you have two options. You really want to go to a conference that's not in your home city. And let's say you live in Los Angeles and you want to go to New York. So you have a plane ticket. Maybe you got to fly someone else out there. You've got to get a hotel. You've got to get food. You've got to get marketing collateral, blah, blah, blah. All in, let's say it's $4,000. So what I believe in is if you don't think you can make 3 times your money on any investment, don't do it. So do you think you can make $12,000 off of the four? If you think you can, then go. But if you don't think you can, then don't. So the $4,000 is the cannonball in the deep end. Now let's do a different example. Let's say you want to sponsor a networking breakfast that's going to cost $200. So now it's $200. You need to make $600 off of that. That's a 3 times your rate of return. Do you think you can make $600? So let's look at this. Money floaties, shallow end of the pool, smaller dollar amount investment, way less risk versus $4,000. What business owners do is they go for the $4,000. It doesn't work. Or the cash flow conversion cycle between laying out $4,000 and actually making money off of that may take 11 months. And most business owners cannot afford to put out that kind of money with that conversion cycle that long. So,
sounds familiar.
Yeah, we're doing that. Folks, listen to him. He's telling the truth.
I just talked about a lot of things: conversions, risk, and what else. I mean, I'm just going to look. I love publicists. I love them. I used to have one. You hire a publicist, you're at, I'm making up a number, $2,000 a month, right? So 24,000 all in, at least. I mean, let's just say two to make it simple. So you're into it for $2,000 a month. Now, again, people driving, this is the fun part of the conversation with the math, because you don't have to do that much math.
Right.
But if you're paying someone $2,000 a month, that is a recurring cost. Okay, notes to everyone listening. Recurring costs, more money going out, we all know that. But when are we going to make money off of that publicity? You never know with publicity. It could be in 2 years. It could be in 20 minutes. You don't know. So does your business have the capacity to put that out for that long without knowing? So you have to clearly be able to understand, what am I investing in? How quickly can I convert off of that? And can I make 3 times my money? And that one thing with 3 times your money, I can save people on average $14,000 in 10 minutes by looking at their numbers, challenging them on everything that they're investing in. Now, I'm not talking about web hosting. Like, I'm talking about like stuff that people are doing.
Yeah, we we went by those rules for some of the bigger coaching packages that we've invested in along the way for our own skills. I don't know if I 3X'd. I don't know that we came through in terms of actually gaining back that investment. Sometimes we did, but it's fantastic advice. Yeah, whether you're just in the shallow end with your floaties on or diving in the deep end.
Yeah.
2,000 a month. And as
people,
that's a lot.
Yeah. And as people, yeah, PR costs a lot. As people who speak for a living, right? You know, I know you do a ton of public speaking as well. Those, you have to be really confident in your ability to recoup that investment. And oftentimes I might make a decision about attending an event, whether I'm speaking or just attending, I'm way more likely to recoup my investment, even if I'm paying my own way, if I'm on stage speaking, than if I'm just attending and networking, right? So, in service-based industry, there's a lot of these buckets where that money can go, right?
Yeah.
But
I want to be a little bit more transparent with my business.
Yeah.
Because I think people listening will appreciate it, because I don't think I've ever said this on a show. I don't think I ever have. So. Let me just, I'm going to do a two-part comment on what you just said, Manette. Number one, I got to get back to this money floaties for a second. So the money floaties is taking small risks and testing. I haven't said that yet. You have to test the small risks and see if they work. If they work, then you can cannonball. But if they don't, then you got to iterate and try something new.
Yeah.
So that is really important. Is it's okay to take risks. But I want the money floaties. I need the shallow end of the pool. And I want you to take risks. I'm giving everyone the green light. Like, you need to be taking risks all day long. I'm not talking about, take risks like one time. No, I'm talking like every day, $50, $20, $80, whatever. But you got to do something. That's my, let's go, people. Like,
perfect.
Sorry, but like, let's do this. I'm giving you the green light. So that's my first point. My other point is, okay, my business model, right? So my business model, anyone's business model, is how do you make money and how much scale and leverage do you have with it in recurring revenue? So I work one-on-one and I'm pretty much at capacity. And then I have a group. So the one-on-one, any one-on-one stuff or any service where you're providing more handholding and advising is going to have a higher fee. Mm-hmm. Anything that's, more scalable, generally it may be lower to a certain degree. So I've been asked to speak and to sponsor. They're like, all right, we'll get you in front of 4 million people. We want you to pay 10 grand. I'm like, okay, I got to make 30 G's off of this.
Yeah.
Otherwise I'm not doing it. So I'm like, okay, 10,000 out. I'm not looking for one-on-one clients. I'm pretty good there. Okay. So that means I need to do 30,000 off of a smaller offer. How long is it going to take me to get that if I'm monthly?
Yeah.
It could take me like 3 years. So the 3x rate of return allows you to say no to all of the bullshit that you're really saying yes to. So it can open up more space for you to say yes to the right stuff.
Right.
So turned down pay-to-plays all day long.
Yeah.
So actually you bring up a good point there is, so in terms of that 3X return on investment, what time frame are you looking at? I mean, obviously you rejected the 2-year time frame.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on, so for new business owners, 6 weeks,
right?
People who have a business and all that could be a year, but it also it's a function of like the vision that you have for your business, what you think you really need to have. Like, I just worked with someone this morning. Like, she's doing almost 7 figures in sales, multi 6 figures in profits, but she needs to bring on one more person. She needs a new marketing manager. So that marketing manager is probably not going to cash flow in the first 3-4 months. It just won't. You got to bring someone on board. It's going to take some time for them to get their campaigns going. So then we just did some math, and I'm making up a number, $4,000 a month times, let's say, 5 months. So that's 20 grand that you're putting out before that money comes in. Can she handle that? Yes. But someone that's hiring, that's kind of new and hiring a VA, and that ROI isn't going to come for like 3-4 months, forget it.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, it's such a great way to look at it. And I love that you added the people element. It's a question that we get a lot from our clients is, when do you hire? And especially creatives who really don't like marketing, or they think they're super introverted, or they don't get the tech side of social media, you know, all kinds of stories. And they want to hire people. And so being able to give them something that practical, here's how you know if you're ready or not. Can you afford to invest and pay this person for anywhere from 2 to 6 months or even longer, depending on what you're hiring them for? Can you carry that before you see the return on the investment?
Yes.
Super practical. So last question, why are you so passionate about this? Because I know your background is just the traditional financial planner guy, right? Yeah, was how you got started.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, for me, when I was a kid, I played tennis. I was very, very competitive. And I was on this path to play college and maybe even pro. But I was in this environment where I felt really criticized. My parents were a big, you know, part of that. I mean, they're loving, great, amazing people. But inside, I felt like, you know, I wasn't good enough. Like, you didn't hit the backhand right. And I just got myself into this story of, I don't know, not being great and not reaching my potential.
Sure.
And not feeling like I was in an environment where I could literally stand up on a rock and have people look at me and be like, you got this. So that pattern of not believing in myself, not wanting to stand out, was very, very hard for me. It's why I worked at one firm, a financial advising firm, UBS, for 15 years, because I didn't believe that I could really help people and take the risk that I needed to get a return on my life. Mm-hmm. It was why I stayed in my first marriage and when I wasn't happy. So I'm doing this money strategy stuff because it heals me. Mm-hmm. It heals me to empower people that they can be the best that they want. They can have the best financial life that they want. And after I got divorced, I started messaging like, screw everyone. I'm putting my oxygen mask on first. I'm dealing with my own stuff and blah, blah, blah. And that message really resonated with women business owners. Mm-hmm. They're taking care of everyone else. They're not putting themselves first. They don't have the identity that they want for their own business and themselves. And I mean, when I just can create this kind of financial momentum really and success for these women, it heals me. And it allows me even to take this new business, this money strategy business, to the moon, because I'm on my way to the moon. I don't even know where the moon is, but somehow I'm going to get there.
Nice.
But that's why I'm doing this, because I think we need this stuff.
Maybe you're going to go to Mars with Elon Musk.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. But like, you know, rewarding.
That's, I love the level of self-awareness you bring, and the little bit of mush that you bring to a topic that doesn't always get the mush that it needs when it comes to women and money, because that mindset is so important. And I love just the reminder to put your own oxygen mask on first, and money is oxygen in the world that we live in today, right? It's what makes everything go around. And just having people own this part about that we're in business to make money, even if we're healers, even if we're energy workers or massage therapists or coaches or whatever it is, artists, right? That we're in this game to make money. And like, the more that we can own that, I think the faster we can grow. And I love the term money strategist. I think it's brilliant. And I love the gifts and talents. And I love the way that you've taken your own journey and brought that into a way that not only heals you, but is going to really heal women in their work with money. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Super beautiful.
Is it working? Is it healing you?
Yeah, it is.
Sweet.
Yeah. And what I'm seeing is that community is powerful. Yeah. Community, it's crazy. I'm chopped liver now. These ladies, they're like, oh boy. They're like, I facilitate a lot of it, but it's so fun to create a community. And I think a lot of business owners need it, right? Because, you know, we're just working and And it's good to bounce stuff off other people. And I also think accountability with money is major.
Yeah, it's pretty huge.
And it's lonely, right? For so many of us who are at home doing this on our own or in our offices doing it on our own. I mean, I feel so lucky to work with Brad and have that brainstorming partner there and that support there every day. But yeah. So many women business owners feel really isolated.
Yes.
And staff are not business partners, right? I made that mistake of trying to, you know, see my office manager as a peer, and she was never, ever going to have the passion for my business that I did, right? So a lot of those lessons have been learned the difficult way along my personal journey. So thank you so much for your time today. And where can we send people to get maybe some more of these fun 12-second messages that you talked about or connect with you further?
Yeah, I want to make sure that everyone, you said you're in business to make money. Like, we didn't talk a lot about profits, but like people, you have to make profits and then you have to have cash.
Yes.
So like, you need to go, so go to this URL, cashflowgift.com. It's one word, cashflowgift.com. And there will be the one thing that you need to do to get started and to make progress and to get momentum off of what we talked about today.
Great. Cashflowgift.com. We'll have that in the show notes. Hey, this has been fantastic, Justin. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and here's my quirky show notes. We'll use these in all our
Oh my God.
All your fun little tips and strategies.
That's
why I'm not looking at you while we're talking.
I love it.
I usually tell people up front, but yeah, look, there's the it's national get your head out of the sand day.
Oh my God, yes.
Justin, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come and talk to us. We'll have to do another show on why people buy, because that's that whole psychology of buying is something that really fascinates me and I think is really important for people to understand. And it's just the first step in the buying process and maybe not even the most important one. I think some of the other pieces that go around that are just as important, right? So that we make sure they not only buy, but they love what they buy and they
stay with
it so that we can create that recurring revenue. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon. Again, that's cashflowgift.com. I'm Manette. This is Brad, and we are the Path to Profit podcast. We'll see you on the next show. If you love this episode, go leave us some love on iTunes.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening.